Hi, this is Georgie. I'm testing this. Hi, Rosa. This is Georgie. We're doing a little recording. Can you tell me where you were born?
I was born in Petersburg, Virginia.
Was your marriage to Lee what brought you to Brownsburg in the first place?
Yep.
How'd you meet him?
Well, we met in Richmond. I lived on Seminary Avenue and he lived on Avondale, and it's not too far apart. And we both went to the same church, and young people just got together.
Okay. Where were you married?
In that church, it's a Union Theological Presbyterian Church.
Okay. And when did you move? Were your children born in Rockbridge County?
Only Jimbo.
When did you move permanently to Maxwelton?
We moved permanently to Lexington in 57. And then, I guess it was that we decided that trying to keep up the house in town and out here was not working. So we decided to we'd much rather be right out here. So we decided to move. And I guess it was about 86. It was before 68.
Okay.
Right. 65, 6.
65
like
or 6. Great. Dr. Henry McLaughlin was, of course, a very important individual in the Brownsburg area when he was minister at New Providence. Do you have any memories or favorite stories of Dr. and Mrs. McLaughlin that you would share?
Lots of memories, but I don't have any favorite stories. But I did come up and visit Nubby for a weekend or whatever, during the summer when he would be at camp, because Big Papa wasn't actually running it then, because Sam McLaughlin was running a camp at Brownsburg then, and Nubby was helping him. So I would come up for a weekend or so and visit him. And I know that Lesbia, she insisted on every morning getting up and making the oatmeal for all of camp for breakfast.
Oh, how fun.
So she was absolutely amazing. And then I know she loved to go out and pick berries and do all that sort of thing. And Big Papa was, well, he was around, but I guess he had more to do with the church and all that stuff, and not as much with camp.
Did your husband Lee have memories of living in the manse at New Prov?
Yes, he did. They moved into the manse. I guess they left the manse and went to Richmond. When Lee was about 12. And so he remembers, well, he used to say, oh, when it snowed, we walked on top of the snow, on the fences on top of the snow to get to school and all that stuff. And well, whether that was true or not, I'm not sure, but I'm sure they did have a lot of snow that they had to walk to school. So
Dr. McLaughlin was the minister here and then went to Richmond and then came back here?
No, he didn't come back here. When he was here and left to go to Richmond, he went to Richmond to head up the country church, something or other in the old presbytery. But they did not come back here to live.
Okay. Um, Did you spend the summers in Brownsburg area when Lee directed Camp Briar Hills with Sam McLaughlin?
Not the summers. I'd just come up for, say, weekends. If I could get a ride up with somebody.
Did you live at the camp when you visited?
Oh, yeah, no, on the sleeping porch. I have many memories of that sleeping porch. Caraphan, Hogsett might have been there, or Nell Brown. And Big Mama and Big Papa had a room inside the interior part, but children were on the sleeping porch. But it was fun. It was great.
And what were the buildings like at Camp Briar Hills?
Well, the building, they had the one big house. They had a big house. Then there was another outhouse. I mean, not an outhouse, but an outer house where some of the campers stayed. But the campers, golly, did all of them stay out there? They must have. Because I don't think they stayed on another sleeping porch.
How about tents or anything like that?
Was, how about what?
Were they sleeping in tents, maybe, or were
no,
they?
No, no, no.
Okay. What sort of activities were available for the campers?
At that point? Well, down lower they had a baseball field, and I'm sure they probably played some football too. And then they swam in the creek, walked way down to get to the creek, swam in the creek. And I'm sure they had other activities, but right this minute I can't think of.
Did local people from Brownsburg help with the cooking and the cleaning?
I'm sure they did, and they're some mighty good friends. And I should remember some names, but I don't, but I know that they were mighty good friends and did a good job. Though, as I say, Big Mama always cooked the oatmeal for breakfast, and she left the rest of it for the help from, and they came from Brownsburg.
According to Sandy, Camp Briar Hills became so popular that there were more applicants than space. So the camp was divided into Briar Hills in Brownsburg and Max Welton held in Pisgah.
Well, I guess that's probably true. Though I think more of it is being Sam McLaughlin bought the farm in Pisgah at an auction sale and had the idea of having children who were not able to pay for camp or anything, but to come and work there as on a farm. Right? That had been his idea. But then Sam got sick and had to not do camp like that. And so Nubby took it over. And they decided to have the younger boys at Briar Hills out at Brownsburg and the older ones to come over to Max Welton at Pisgah. So that's how that sort of did.
Were you actively involved in Camp Max Welton when it was held at Briarwood Farm in Pisgah?
Well, I was there.
You were there?
I was there. And the children were there. My girls were all with there.
Ah.
And I guess Lebo was there. But Jimbo wasn't born until we moved into Lexington.
If so, what were some of your duties?
I didn't have any duties. I just, well, if anybody got sick, I, of course, helped nurse, that sort of thing. I'll bandage up people if they had a splinter or whatever. But other than that, I was just there.
Mom to the kids.
Right, that's right, that's right.
What were the camp buildings like?
Well, we built, they were built, I can say we, I didn't, but they only had, we built two cabins up back of the main house up on the hill. And that's all we had at first, was just the two cabins. And then as time went on, we added more. two of what we began with.
So they never operated out of tents?
I take that back because, and I can't remember whether it was here that we had the tents. I think it was here we had tents. We had two tents because we didn't have enough space for the campus. And they were called McWhat and McWhy. And we were all Scots because all the cabins are called are Scots names. So McWhat and McWhy. And I think the children who lived in the tents loved it.
But you don't remember whether there were tents at Pisgah? Tents at Pisgah?
No, I do not.
Do you have memories of the camp activities, swimming, sports, horseback riding?
Yeah, wait a minute, what did you say? I heard
horseback
riding.
I said, what, do you have any memories of the camp activities over at Pisgah? Like swimming, sports, horseback riding?
Well, of course I was swimming in a creek somewhere. And I think they played ball games in a fair spot. And riflery. We seem to always have riflery. And it was fun. And I know there were chickens down in the flat in front of the house over in Pisgah. And one time, Nubby had to take a tennis team from WL to some contest somewhere, and it was near Easter. And so the boys gave him a little purple chicken. Well, of course, the purple chicken had to come back to camp. And the chicken's name was Dago. And Dago somehow attached himself to me, and he would follow me around like a little puppy dog. And we had more fun with Dago. And then when we moved into Lexington, I remember one time, Nubby and I was Sunday morning, and Nubby and I were sitting at the dining room table. And somebody came in and they said, "There's a chicken on the table." And there was Dago just happily picking up crumbs all over the table, and we weren't paying a bit of attention to it. But Dago was our pet.
Pet chicken. Oh, that's a wonderful story. Sandy mentioned that there had always been a strong emphasis on character building at both camps. And you remember that?
Yeah, still is.
Still is.
And I know we've had devotions every morning here at camp, always. And I feel sure there were devotions there, but I don't really remember what they must have been. And of course, the devotions always emphasize character building things and loyalty and honesty and all that.
Good qualities.
Right, all the good qualities.
Do you remember any local people who helped with Camp Max Melton when it was held at Briarwood Farm? Were there local counselors or campers?
Yes, there was one, they lived in the big white house that, as you come down the road from Brownsburg in the big white house.
Uh-huh.
And what was that boy's name? I can't think, but anyhow, he worked at camp and was a counselor. And I don't remember any other. Might have been some, but more of the counselors, I think, came from Nubby and Sam being at schools, Episcopal and Woodbury, and, well, not the campus, but the councils would come from there more.
When did you begin to operate Camp Max Welton in its current location on Walker's Creek Road?
In 1950, we bought the place in 52, and we had camp here in 53.
Has the nature of Camp Max Welton changed from its early years?
The nature, idea?
No, just the was it a different sort of camp? I mean, did you do different activities than you do now?
No, we always did, well, we did basketball, hockey, hockey's for girls.
Lacrosse?
Hockey is for girls.
Yeah.
Right, but basketball and football and riflery and swimming, because we had the lake, and what else? We had more things than that.
What was it?
Oh, I had shop, the craft shop.
Oh, fun.
I forgot about that.
Are most of the buildings like they were when the camp first operated in this location, or have they changed significantly?
There has not been very much change. Well, we did take down one building that we just used as sort of storage stuff. And from the lumber we got from that, we put up at the tack house at the barn. But the shop, we've added on to, but the shop, the front part of the shop was here. Granny was here, barn was here, the house was here.
And so you put up the camp buildings?
And we put up the camp buildings.
Right. And you put those up right away? And
well, we started off again, I think, about two or three, two, I think. And then gradually added on, so now we had two, three, four, five, six, 7, 8, I think.
Yeah. When did Camp Lachlan begin?
2 or 3 years after Maxwellton, because we had girls and we decided we have a camp, we have the right place, and we had 3 girls who needed to go to camp, so that's why we started Lachlan. And we just had it right here with the same things that the boys have.
Do the campers climb Jump Mountain?
Oh yes, definitely. That's a big hike for them.
Is there a Camp Maxwellton song?
Oh yeah, all sorts of songs. Don't ask me to get into that.
But they're not going to sing for me?
No, I will not. But there are definitely songs that extol camp and Jump Mountain and all that, and friendship and whatnot.
You can't go to camp without singing.
That's right, absolutely.
Was there a big 4th of July celebration?
Yep, fireworks and everything. And with the fireworks we have up at the lake, so that they could fall in the lake if there's a problem. And so we love doing that. And I guess we did it right from the beginning. We do it now, I know, every year, every 4th. And for the girls, we have an August 4th.
Oh, we have fun.
And do fireworks and all, the same thing for the girls.
Oh, that's great. Do you have any specific memories of Camp Maxwellton or Camp Lachlan that you'd like to share?
Nope, I just love it, all of it, both of them. That's where I live.
Yeah, of course. What are some of your early memories of Brownsburg?
I remember when we had a telephone that you did like this, you know.
Oh, one of those ringer, wind-up phones, yeah.
And if we ran out of bread here for a meal or lunch or anything, and when Virginia and John Weitzel had their store, we'd always say, call Virginia, find out if she has any bread she can let us have. And if we couldn't get hold of her, we'd call Miss Maddie at the phone office and say, please get a message to Virginia, we need some bread. And we'd send somebody over, and they'd check with Miss Maddie and then go to Virginia and hopefully come back home with some bread.
That's great. This answers some of the questions. Did you use any of the businesses in Brownsburg for the camps?
Definitely Weitzel's and the phone office. And it, at one point there was a hardware store, what was it? I guess what ended up being a co-op in town, I forgot. But yes, we did get stuff from there. I forgot about that.
And your phone exchange was in Brownsburg?
Yeah. Miss Maddie, was it Miss Maddie? I keep saying Miss Maddie, and I think it was that Miss Maddie. She was a telephone operator, and she was a good friend.
Were there occasions when campers had to use the doctor in Brownsburg?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I guess Dr. Taylor was in town, was a doctor in town, and so, you know, we didn't send anybody into Lexington, we'd send them to Brownsburg. And Dr. Taylor was fine. And then after that, or was it before that? Was he before or after? What's the name that is so familiar that I'm trying to say? Doctor. And there's a doctor in Stan. What?
It doesn't matter because Isabel can probably fill it in.
Okay. But he was a good doctor.
Did the campers routinely attend church at New Prague?
Yes.
Right from the start?
Always have. In fact, Sandy found a picture that was taken on the front steps of the church, and he said it's half of it was by Hills and half of it was Max Wilton. And I have a copy of it somewhere, but Sandy has the real copy. And there were lots of boys. We really filled up the church at that point. And it was fun. But so both camps did go to camp, to church. Okay.
Could you talk a little bit about the community barn dances that were used to be held in the barn at Max Wilton?
Do you know, I know we did, but I do not remember that much about it. I just remember there were a lot of people up there. And they seemed to be enjoying them. And some of the people who were there, they said, you know, we used to have the barn dance in the big room at the on the second floor that goes, which is out in the room, goes all the way across the width of the house, up on the second floor. That's where we used to have the community dance. But then they decided the barn was bigger and better. So. But I don't remember anything about having the dance here in the house. But that's what they would tell us. We used to do it there.
Maybe with the previous owners of the house?
I don't know.
Okay.
I do not know.
Who owned the house before you?
I don't remember. I should remember. It was because when we bought it, there were tenants living in the house. They didn't own the house. And we bought the house from Mr. Hall, who lived up the creek away. And in the hall, in his brat, and I don't mean Henry Hall, I missed another family. It was farther up the creek, and they were, I think, five brothers who owned the property. Two brothers lived here when we got it. And we had a terrible time being able to buy it because the five brothers couldn't decide on a price. And so finally, I think either the real estate people or somebody, I don't know who, got tired of messing with it. So then the property was put up for auction at the courthouse, and that's when we got it. The lawyer in town got in touch with us and told us what was happening. And he said, you want me to put a bid in for you? And we said, yes, please do. So that's how we got it.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Who was the lawyer?
I should know his name, but I do not remember.
I just asked a question I didn't even know. Could you share any of the history of your house here? Was it built? Who built it? Prior orders?
Will I share? Did I share? You mean with the campus?
No. I meant, do you know the history of the house?
Not really. We know that it was built in about 1815.
Wow.
And the barn, there's some dates on some of the boards up at the barn, which puts it a little bit later. I mean, the barn obviously was built later. But as far as we know, we say now that this house was built in 1815. The front, there was two rooms down and two rooms up originally. And then a few years later, this last part was added on. So that's all I know.
And was it owned by one family most of that time? Or
I assume so.
So the five brothers were the last people
that's
who owned.
That I have the idea.
What individuals stand out in your memory from living in Brownsburg? And can you tell us why?
I never lived in Brownsburg.
Right. You lived near it, but did.
Of course, Molly Sue. A lot of people in Brownsburg, but I can't think of, because the Weitzels, Miss Maddie, and our good friends. Okay, who cooked for us? Buck and Cornelia, but they weren't from Brownsburg. They were from up the creek. But they were wonderful friends, Buck and Cornelia. And Cornelia was cook. And Buck was as strong as an ox, and he could do anything, but he helped wash dishes. And then he would work out and help the boys or counselors or do anything around. And they were just wonderful friends. And then their daughter actually cooks for us when they retired. And so we kept it in the family for a while, which was nice.
That's fun. Please describe your life during World War II from 1940 to 1945 and tell us about any special effects of the war on you or your family, or on the Brownsburg community and its residents.
When at that point, I was living in Richmond, and he was overseas for a good part of that time. And when he got back, still, what did we do? When he came back from the war, Sam McLaughlin was at that point teaching at Woodbury, but he knew that there was an opening at Episcopal High School for an athletic director and a teacher. And so he got in touch with Nubby and said, you better apply. So on his way home from getting in from the war, he stopped at Episcopal, and when he got to Richmond to see me and our first daughter, Rosie, he had a job. So then we moved up to Alexandria for 12 years.
And came down here during the summers. I see. What changes, good or bad, have you seen take place in Brownsburg area during the time you've lived here? When were the roads paved? Has the location of the roads in the area changed over the years?
I do not remember when they were paved, but I know they were bumpy and not paved for a long time. But I don't think I can remember too much about it, but I know going along the road to Brownsburg, I remember it very well. Oh, I know it was the East Place. There was a big white house.
Eastfield, yeah.
Right. And it was, what was the East Boy's name? But anyway, that's what I was thinking about when I was talking about the big white house.
Ah.
And was his name? I should know. Okay, that's out of my mind.
Okay.
But he was a counselor.
Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me is it seems to me that there have been very few changes in the roads.
That's
they've
true.
Paved them, but I don't think they've straightened them out. Or
no, I don't think they have either. Not a bit.
What businesses existed in the Brownsburg area when you first came in this area? And where was the post office located and the telephone company and grocery stores, you know, like that?
Right on Main Street, or whatever you want to call the main road going through Brownsburg. The post office, as I say, well, the phone telephone office was Miss Maddie, and that was, she was up on the second floor over the bank building.
Uh-huh.
And the bank was there. And then Mr. Swope's store was on one corner, and then the Weitzels had their store. Can't think of it. And then the doctor lived there in one of the houses. I can see it right now, but they're right there.
What stands out in your memory as the most significant or important event or events that occurred in Brownsburg during the time you've lived in the area?
That actually occurred in Brownsburg?
Or right in the area.
I guess we were so involved with the camp, I don't have any idea what was happening all around. I'm sure know something important, but I don't. If I ever knew, I don't remember. Got any clues? No.
I've only been here 19 years.
Is it? Any clues?
How about, do you have any stories, humorous or other words-wise, that you've heard or were involved in during the time you've lived in the Brownsburg area?
I'm sure there were all sorts of stories, but my brain doesn't take them in. I might hear them and then they're gone. That's the other ear. So, also the famous feud or something that somebody had. I know that was going on, or did go on. But that
excuse me. If you would like to do so, please share with us any family history or events, such as the names of relatives who lived in the Brownsburg area prior to your generation, early settlers in the area, Revolutionary War, Civil War.
The only relative that I can think of that was before I never knew Aunt Gert when she lived here, but Big Mama's sister, Gertrude, lived in Brownsburg, taught school in the Brownsburg school, and she, as a matter of fact, actually was the first one who had a camp at Briar Hills. She lived at Briar Hills, but then taught in Brownsburg. And what she did was she would ask several girls if they wanted to come up and spend some time at Briar Hills. And that was the first way camp started. And then from then on, I'm not sure whether it was waited until Sam actually got old enough and was decided to build on that and turn it into a camp. Of course, he had just boys and all that.
I remember a fun story of Bill McLaughlin telling me that when he was a kid, he used to come to camp,
right.
And he would come on the train to Raphine.
Well, you know,
and then walk.
Oh, really? Well, I know when campus came from Richmond, we sent a counselor down to the train station. Not the Broad Street, but down the farther down, whatever that was, and to bring the campus up to camp on the train, but they stopped at Goshen, and then we had to get them back from Goshen back over to camp in a bus or cars or something. I've forgotten what, but that's how the families did not bring them in cars. not like they do now.
No.
They came on the train, which saved the cost, the families a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that was really fun. He said he remembered as a kid taking the train to Raphine and walking.
And walking. Now, that I don't remember. That was, I think, before the train got to Goshen or something.
Well, yeah, and Bill would have been
a little older.
Close to the same generation, right. So he would have gone
right.
When, you know, when they, he was a kid, so.
Right.
Did you interact at all with the African American community? Were there specifically people in that community with whom you and your family had close relationships?
Well, Buck and Cornelia we loved dearly, and they are the ones I remember more than anybody else. But there was somebody else in Brownsburg who meant a whole lot to us, and I can't remember who that was. I should know. But Buck and Cornelia especially, and then Reva was one of their children, and her husband, and I think they, within the last 10 years, I'm sure, have seen her husband, who was still alive, and in fact, we met in Provost's parking lot, and he came up and said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "I really do," and it was Reba's husband, and so we've kept up with that family, and that's been a wonderful, wonderful friendship.
Would you like to suggest the names of relatives, friends, neighbors, or anyone else you could think of we should interview?
Well, I'm sure you've got more information on that, because she could tell you all sorts of things. And about, of course, the story of Mary Moore. And we still tell that that's the first camp gathering at night is Nubby tells the story of Mary Moore. Not Mary Moore Mason, but Mary
the
Moore.
The Mary Moore. The heroine of Abbs Valley.
Captain of Abbs Valley, right. Yeah. So all of our campers know the story of Mary Moore.
Mary Moore once said to me that you all were...
Kin.
Kin, yeah.
Nubby's... He said he could remember when he used to come over to Walker Lands and visit his Aunt Margaret or somebody.
Oh,
and I'm not sure who that was. But
it might have been a Walker because I think
Margaret Walker.
I think there were two Walkers and
right, probably
aunt and an uncle, maiden right, aunt and right, uncle who right, lived over there.
Right. So that's that connection got to begin.
I think we're done.
Good.
That wasn't too bad.
I don't worry.